in Kupriden jaz nazaj. Pa te samo ostanemo tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa treba. Ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa premrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam. Zagledam Madonna eno šo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in tudi siv. Siv, ne ta nemški občaj, ne, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.
Revolucija v Tuniziji. Ta konec tedna je minil v znamenju dogodkov v Tuniziji, kjer je kritična masa protestnikov prisilila dolgoletnega avtokratskega predsednika države Zina El Abidina Ben Alija k pobegu v Saudsko Arabijo. Razvoj dogodkov je bil za mednarodno javnost precejšnje presenečenje, o čemer priča tudi prostor v svetovnih medijih namenjen pokrivanju dogodkov v tej magrebski državi. Večina medijev se namreč zganila šele prejšnji teden, ko so protesti nezadovoljne mladine in delavcev, ki so se sicer začeli že 17. decembra na zahodu in v osrednjem delu države, dosegli glavno mesto Tunis. Do informacij z prve roke, kaj se trenutno dogaja v Tuniziji, je težko priti. Podobno kot v primeru protestov po lanskoletnih iranskih predsedniških volitvah, se je razplet dogodkov že prijel naziv Facebook revolucija, predvsem zaradi vloge, ki so jo odigrala socialna omrežja na svetovnem spletu pri angažiranju protestnikov in obveščanju mednarodne javnosti. Mnoge države z Združenimi državami Amerike na čelu rade opozarjajo na cenzuro v Iranu in na Kitajskem, pri tem pa so priročno molčale, da so tudi tunizijske oblasti nadvse uspešno kratile svobodo govora in širenje informacij. O trenutnih razmerah v Tuniziji smo se pogovarjali z arabskim političnim aktivistom Diabom Abujem Džadžajem, ki je trenutno v rodnem Bejrutu, glavnem mestu Libanona. Opravičujemo se zaradi slabšega posnetka, ki je posledica motenj na telefonski zvezi.
Yes, actually, Tunisia now is still living some exciting times after the completely successful revolution that was that took place starting in December last year and that ended on the 14th of January with the dictator Ben Ali fleeing the country. Not a lot of people saw this coming in a country that is that is you know being portrayed by the Western media as a success story of a liberal pro-Western government. But for us, we always knew that the reality in Tunisia is that there is a very authoritarian regime that allows no real opposition and that actually oppresses its people.
V nasprotju s prevladujočim označevanjem dogodkov v Tuniziji kot Facebook revolucije imate zelo jasno stališče. V svojem prispevku na blogu, ki so ga povzeli tudi nekateri angažirani mediji, ste zelo jasno naglasili, da gre v primeru Tunizije za povsem klasičen, tako rekoč staromoden primer revolucije. Ali nam lahko pojasnite izvor in naravo zadnjih dogodkov?
Now in Tunisia, the revolution started really bottom up. It started from the streets, started from regular people organizing themselves in level of neighborhoods, in little villages, in big cities, and so on. So it was really an old-fashioned revolution, people going to the streets massively and taking down the regime. I'm not saying that they did not use social media. I mean, Facebook served as the media of the revolution in the first let's say, 10 to 15 days when no media, including our own Al Jazeera, was not giving us attention. So only later, so in these first 15 days, social media was crucial for the revolution to pass its message, and that was mainly done by people, filming events on their cellular phones and then putting them on social media, especially on Facebook. And this was spreading. And the Tunisian people were so inventive with that, in Tunisia, the government took down Facebook. They shut it down, but the people used proxy servers, and they were very inventive and still operating their own Facebook despite their government ban.
Kakšen je pravzaprav pomen internetnih socialnih omrežij pri angažiranju Tunizijcev v organizirano multitudo? V preteklih tednih je bilo precej primerov, ko je oblast še rigoroznejše kot v preteklosti posegla v svobodo med mrežja, aretirani pa so bili tudi številni blogeri in aktivisti.
Yes, as I said, this did play a role. It was an important thing in creating awareness. Many of the revolutionaries on the streets were students, were people who use social media frequently. So this definitely played a role. And I think the most important role has not been really managing the revolution, because they were not making appointments on Facebook or whatever. These things were managing on the local level and the neighborhoods and the villages and the small towns and so on. But the main thing was playing the role of media, substituting the regular media, passing information of what is happening, putting clips that were taken 10 minutes before or 20 minutes before online for people to view it, and then to get, more and more enthusiastic and mobilized.
Kako bi pojasnili vzroke, da se je takšne vrste ljudsko gibanje vzpostavilo prav v Tuniziji? Pravzaprav sama država ne izstopa iz regionalnih gospodarskih in ostalih statistik. Še več, v očeh poprečnega zahodnjaka je predstavljala idiličen otoček v sicer nemirnem delu sveta.
I believe that there are many factors. Of course, unemployment played a role in this. But also, I think the fact that these people have been oppressed for a long time, so political repression over the years, disrespect of the people, but also the fact that the regime crossed really the line, exaggerated in its mafia practices, and that the family of Trabelsis, the family of the wife of the president, was really controlling all the resources in the country in an exaggerated way. And everybody knew this. There was no doubt on the mind of the people that these people are just looting their country, stealing their resources, and also having a foreign policy that is totally against the feeling of the people, which is pro-Western. The people is for example, the regime is very pro-Western on anything, and it was really considered by the people as a stooge of the West. And the people have, like any other Arab people, they are anti-Israeli, they are against the American presence, military presence in our region, and so on. So they were in one side and their government on another side. So, several elements, you cannot bring it down to one element, but several elements brought the people to a stage when you only needed one flame to set the whole place ablaze. And that's what happened. That's that action of Mohammed al-Bouazizi. That actually was that flame, but everything was ready to ignite.
Kakšno vlogo so v trenutnih razmerah odigrali sindikati in politična opozicija? Ali predstavljajo platformo za družbene spremembe in ali ponujajo emancipatorne strategije?
Well, this is the main problem now, because, after 25 years of oppression, there's hardly something called an opposition in Tunisia. All these opposition parties were actually run by the regime and by the ruling party. They were just the decoration. The only thing that is close to an organized opposition movement or party or structure is the trade union, the UGTT, but it's also not 100% what it used to be before the period of Ben Ali. So it is quite shaky now in terms of organization. And this is the argument where many people believe that they should go now with a national unity government, with the FCD, which is the party of Ben Ali, which is, in my view, a huge mistake, because I believe, the old structure might change faces, but it's still there, and it will just put somebody else forward. And the risk is there that they will kill the revolution before it really translates into social change. Now the question is, are the people going to organize themselves in a manner that can either impose another solution, like not this national unity government, but rather a transitional committee or something, or put enough pressure on the national unity government, so-called national unity government, because it doesn't really unite the people. You know, it doesn't. It just unites the RCD with some parties who don't really have constituency. I mean, can the people put enough pressure on this to really do some reforms to the election laws and produce a free and fair elections in the coming months? This is still to be seen. I think all scenarios are still open.
Trenutno je v Tuniziji na oblasti začasna vlada. Nadaljni politični koraki so zaenkrat še negotovi, pri čemer se ugiba o možnosti vzpostavitve vlade narodne enotnosti, razpisu volitev in spremembah ustave. Kakšen bi bil najslabši scenarij za razvoj dogodkov?
Well, I think the worst case scenario is that you will have now a transitional government that will really last much longer than the interim period that it is planned for it. Eventually, some Secret Service elements and some regime loyalist elements will start, for example, a campaign of terror in the country, destabilizing it completely, and then creating a pretext for emergency laws to be declared, and then coming back into the same old story. So this is a risk that cannot be excluded.
Nekateri komentatorji izpostavljajo dejstvo, da je tunizijska revolucija prva revolucija v tem delu sveta po iranski islamski revoluciji. Ali lahko, prvič, pričakujemo širitev protestniškega vala tudi v drugih arabskih državah? In drugič, ali je utemeljena bojazen o posledičnem porastu radikalnega islamizma? To sprašujemo predvsem zaradi prevladujoče post-11-septembrske ideologije v mainstream zahodnjaški politični govorici.
First of all, yes, it is the first real revolution in the Middle East after the Iranian revolution, and that is, there's no question about that, and that is why it is very important to see that this revolution delivers, because if it doesn't deliver, the wrong signal will be sent to the masses, and then many people will be reinforced in their conviction that either these regimes are the best we can do, or that there should be an Islamist alternative to them. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, I think the post 9/11 ideology dominating in the West with Islamophobic accents and also with a very military oriented politics like we saw in Iraq and like we might see soon in Lebanon and Iran. I think such a revolution will, on one hand, break stereotype, because everybody thought that only political Islam can be an agent for change in the Arab world, and now you can see that the people here can revolt and not really be mentioning anything religious, you know, that they revolt for the same reasons people would revolt for everywhere in the world. And at the same time, it's done in a country where they have a strong Islamist movement, but that is quite democratic and quite progressive, and can show people in the West that it doesn't have to be necessary that Islamic movements can be enemies. They are enemies of imperialism, but not necessarily of Western civilization. So I think it promises, if Tunisia become a democratic country, I think it will, on the one hand, express the agenda of its people, and the agenda of its people is definitely pro-resistance in Palestine and in Lebanon, pro-resistance in Iraq. It is definitely anti-American policy, and that will create of Tunisia a place where you can really set an example to how you can combine democracy and sovereignty in a third world country. And a small country is just big enough to not to be a pushover, but it's not too big to carry problems like Egypt is carrying or India is carrying. So it's a kind of place where you can make things work and show that
Precej kritični ste do vloge Izraela v trenutnih razmerah. V svojih zapisih omenjate subverzivne akcije, ki naj bi jih vršile izraelske obveščevalne službe na ozemlju Tunizije. Svojo ost pa ste uperili tudi v libijskega voditelja Moamerja Gaddafija in Združene države Amerike, ki priznavajo samo takšne in drugačne spremembe oblasti, ki potekajo pod njenim patronatom. Lahko poveste malce več?
Yes, of course, all these forces, whether it's Israel or Gaddafi or even France and the United States, they are very, annoyed by what's going on in Tunisia because it is really against everything that they are planning for. They prefer dictatorships to stay on board, dictatorships that can be easily brought under the control of the United States, that will never allow their people to set the agenda. That will never really do anything about the occupation of Palestine or any other occupation that we might have. That's what they actually, they prefer governments to police the people for them. But then if there's a government that gives the power to the people, even if it's partly, this is something that they don't like to see. So for Gaddafi, for example, it's really near his borders, you know, and it's a real revolution, unlike his phony fairy tales there about a revolution. So when you have a real revolution, even organizing itself on popular committee now to defend itself, while he is the theorist, so-called, of popular committees, and he's been in power forever, and planning to pass that over to his son, that's something threatening. Israel, they know all too good that if the Arab people is to be living in democracy, they will put their agenda forward, and their agenda is pro-Palestinian. So, of course, they prefer to deal with dictators like Ben Ali or Mubarak or Abdullah of Jordan or Saudi Arabia, for that matter, to just keep the Arab people in big prisons. You know, that's what their interest is, and this is bad for them. And the Americans and the French, you know, they would like to keep a friend there instead of an enemy. And they would like also to keep sharing the spoils of the economy cheaply with the regime instead of having a decent economical relationship. So this is also against their interest. The Americans were even planning to set military bases there. So now imagine a government of the people, they will not accept that. So that will force them to redefine some strategical plans they have, and this is also not good for them. So all by all, you know, all these so-called democracy and freedom-loving countries are clearly against democracy and freedom.
To priliko bi izkoristili še za vprašanje o trenutnih razmerah v Libanonu. Če se ne motimo, ste bili v svojih 20 letih življenja pripadnik gibanja Hezbolah, ki ga mnogi obtožujejo odgovornosti za izvršitev atentata na libanonskega predsednika vlade Rafika Haririja leta 2005. Primer preiskuje tudi posebna komisija Združenih narodov.
First of all, let me say that the Lebanese is divided on this. You know, you don't have one opinion here. You have two big blocks and everybody thinks in the direction. You have, I think, a slight majority supporting the opposition and who believe that the assassination of Rafik Hariri was an American or Israeli hit in order to create chaos here that will serve the Bush agenda at the time in Iraq and beyond, and that this tried to be realized in 2006 by the war against Lebanon when Israel failed to achieve military success. And then there are others who take the American and Israeli story for it and blame Hezbollah in Syria. They started blaming Syria, then they switched to Hezbollah. They have no credibility because they base their testimony or they base their claims on false testimonies and they fabricated false witnesses. And this came out now and everybody knows it. So, you know, if anybody accuses you of anything and then you discover that they fabricated testimonies and they were lying about it, then you start doubting that they did it. So I think the majority of Lebanese people is convinced that it was an Israeli job encouraged by the Americans. They believe that this tribunal now against Lebanon is just a pretext to isolate the resistance, marginalize it, and then come and destroy it.
Intervju bi zaključili z vašim političnim angažmajem v Evropi. Mnogo let ste živeli v Belgiji, ste pa tudi ustanovitelj Arabsko-Evropske lige, gibanja, ki se bori za pravice islamskih imigrantov v Evropi. Nasprotujete asimilaciji, pa tudi integraciji, kot modeloma za sprejemanje imigrantov v večinsko družbo.
Well, we are not really opposing integration. We're just opposing it when it is being translated as assimilation. So, and we are saying that in Europe, nobody is really approaching integration as a social political element, but everybody is approaching it culturally, and this means that everybody is seeing integration as assimilation, cultural assimilation, while democracy is all for cultural diversity. So this is our position. So our recommendation is simple. It has always been, even though people try to defamate us and let us say things we never say, but our proposition was always a new approach towards what democracy is, to have a radical democracy, a democracy that goes to the roots of society, that on one hand guarantees every citizen the right to be who they want to be, to act like they want to act, of course within the limits of the law. On the other hand, to create more equality, to stop discrimination, to distribute wealth properly, to have a foreign policy that reflects the will of all the people. Europe is becoming a very diverse place, and if people are still going to try to act as if it is a monocultural place, well, they are going against reality, and at the end, reality always wins. So that was always our position, and it still is.
Zeitgeist o tunizijski revoluciji je pripravil Tadej, tehniciral je Marušić, bral je Ivan.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata. Ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno šo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv, ne ta nemški občalnik, črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudeh, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiju Študent.